All right, so we got to this point here where we had introduced a tiny expression language using F-sharp's algebraic data types to represent terms of this sort as F-sharp values. And then we can define functions in F-sharp to work on these. Here's an evaluation function that simply evaluates the simple arithmetic expression to obtain an integer. And it may seem that we have achieved absolutely nothing by doing this, because we already know what is how to evaluate the expressions of this sort, 2 plus 3 times 4. The idea is that two ideas in this. This is the beginning of something much bigger. And the other idea is that once we have our own representation of expressions and our own evaluation functions, we can make things mean what we like. So it might be that we actually want all results we want to compute in the non-negative numbers. And so the meaning of subtraction should not be what it is usually is, subtraction should be redefined so that it produces the result zero when the result would otherwise have been negative. So we simply to achieve this, we simply change the evaluator, the eval function here, the interpreter. So I'll do that in a second. So the idea is that the type expression we introduced a moment ago is the syntax, the representation of the language, so-called abstract syntax. And the eval function here is the semantics, the meaning of expressions. And we can change both of them exactly as we like. It's our language, this one. So here we shall keep the syntax, stick to the same expressions, but we'll change the semantics so that in the evaluator, the minus operator is interpreted in a different way than before, and that's highlighted here. So to compute E1 minus E2, or the minus operator applied to expression E1 and expression E2, we evaluate E1, evaluate E2, subtract them using F-sharps, minus, obtain some result, res, and if that result is negative, we return zero, otherwise we return the result. In this way, we guarantee that the result of minus is always non-negative, zero or positive. And that's the whole idea in this course. Later on, we shall redefine things to suit our needs. Then you can do as a exercise here to define a function to convert expressions back to strings. So you get from the tree representation to the string representation up here. And of course, that needs a recursive function using pattern matching. That's an exercise. Let's make our tiny expression language slightly more complicated. It started out having only constants and operators, or primitives, like times and plus and so on. Now we also want to have variables. A variable is basically a third kind of expression here, alongside the constants and primitives. And a variable basically has a name, and the name is represented as a string. So here are three examples of expressions. Constant 17 is still an example. We might have a 3 plus A, where A is the name of a variable. It's represented in this way as a primitive plus applied to constant 3 and the variable A. And we might have something here which is B times 9 plus A. And that was easy to extend the language, but we want to evaluate expressions that involve variables, we need to change the evaluator as well. So the eval function still takes an expression E as argument and return an integer. But what should it do in case, we know what it should do in case of a constant, and we know what it should do in the case of a primitive, but what should it do in case of a variable? How do we know the value of variable A and B here? And here the concept of environment comes in. An environment is simply a mapping from variable names to their values, at least in this simple context. And a classic representation of environments is simply as a list, again in F-sharp written with square bracket, a list of pairs are variable names and values. So this environment maps A, variable A to 3, and C to 78, and variable BAF to 666, and so on. And then we can define a function, F sharp, to look up a name in the environment. So the environment tells us the value of all the variables we know, and to get a specific variable, we use a function lookup defined like this. It's a recursive function that takes as argument an environment and the variable we want to look up, and we use pattern matching. If the environment we want to look up in is empty, then obviously X is not in there, and we throw an exception, X not found. Otherwise, if the environment starts with if the environment is a list that is non-empty, so it starts with a pair, y, v, and some more stuff, r, the rest, r. Well, in this pair, y is the name of some variable, v is a value. Then we make a test whether x, the variable we are looking for, is actually the first one in the environment here. If that's the case, then we know the value is v. Otherwise, we try to look up x in the rest of the environment. And so using an environment, we can now extend the evaluator so that it works for expressions with variables as well. But then, we, of course, we need to pass the environment to evaluate the evaluator so the evaluator knows where to look up the variable. So the evaluator now takes an expression and an environment of this type, string times int list, a list of pairs of strings and integers, and returns an integer as before. We do pattern matching, and we know there are other cases, but the var case is now simply dealt with by calling the lookup function we just defined on the given environment and the variable we want to know. But now, actually, what to do in the recursive cases when we have E1 plus E2, then we need to evaluate E1 and E2, and they in turn need to know the environment. We have to pass the environment to the eval function everywhere we call it. So now we can evaluate expressions with variables in them. Right, and so we have now a slightly less trivial language than before, but the rest of the course, basically the next 12 lectures, deals with much more complicated languages, but the idea is the same, that we represent things with algebraic data types and evaluate them with evaluators or compile them with compilers written in F sharp. So let's take a as the last part of this first lecture, see how all of this would be done in an object-oriented language like Java or C sharp. In F sharp, we represented our simple expressions using the this data type expr, which has three constructors, const I for integer constants, var for variables, and prim for primitive operations. That's a functional style of representing abstract syntax. In an object-oriented language, one would use a small class hierarchy and the composite pattern in this way. Instead of a data type expr, we use an abstract superclass expr, and three concrete subclasses that inherit from expr, namely one to represent constants, one to represent variables, and one to represent primitives, or the application of primitives. And the primitive one actually has references back to two instances of expr, exactly like the functional one here, that a primitive application has an operator that we can't see here, plus two expressions, the same thing here. Or to be more concrete, this I think isn't Java, but it would be almost the same in C sharp, of course. The first line, abstract class expr, declares the class expr, and the then we have a declaration of the three concrete subclasses, const I, var, and prim. And so const I and var and prim are all subclasses of expr. Const I has an integer constant as its only a piece of state, exactly like there's a there's an integer argument to the constructor here. The variable has a variable name as the only piece of state, exactly like the like the var constructor here has a string argument, and the prim class has two pieces here, the operator times a plus or minus, and the two expressions e1 and e2, exactly like the prim constructor here has the name of an operator and two sub-expressions. Notice that since this is everything is immutable here, I can't change the value of a constant once it has been created. I've tried to simulate that in my Java program here by making this thing final, the same as read only in C sharp. So it's always a good idea also in Java and C sharp to try to represent this sort of thing with immutable fields. So we can write expressions in Java here, like the main difference is that we now, instead of just writing const i17 as we did in F sharp, we have to write new const i17 to define e1 here. There's a lot more news and a few more parentheses, but otherwise it's basically the same. But we are missing one thing, which is not explained here, how to evaluate expressions. This only defines the abstract syntax. So what you see here, all of this stuff in this slide, is basically the same as this little box. And that's one reason I'm using F sharp. That this representation is much more compact than this one. And this certainly makes a difference. If you have even a subset of C, would take many slides of this stuff to write out. But we haven't talked about yet how to evaluate things. So the counterpart of this evaluator, this eval function in F sharp that takes an expression and does a pattern matching and evaluates things. How would that be done in Java or C sharp? The I'm not showing the details here, but the idea is to evaluate an expression. Here you would add an abstract to the abstract class expression. You would add an abstract eval method, so an eval method without any body, but just saying that this eval method takes as argument an environment and returns an integer. And then in the three concrete subclasses, you would override the abstract method from this base class with concrete eval methods that does the right thing. So the eval method in the const I class would be take as an argument an environment and ignore that environment and just return the value of I. And in the var class, the eval method would take the environment as argument and use the lookup, a suitable lookup method on the environment and the name to get the value of the variable. And down here, we would have a recursive method to override the abstract one from class expr. So the whole thing would get to look more complicated. But notice that the evaluation mechanism would be distributed over the different classes. So we would have one eval method here, another here, and they would be overrides of the abstract one from the superclass. And that's an interesting distinguishing feature from between functional and object-oriented languages, which I'm trying to summarize here, that in the functional or F-sharp style, to add a new expression or to represent an expression variant, we use the data type mechanism, and I simply add a new data type constructor like var or const I or prim to the expr type. Over here, we add a new subclass or represent each expression variant with a subclass. to define an eval function in the functional language, we define a single function, eval, and use pattern matching on the different cases in the expr type. In the object-oriented world, we would use a virtual method abstract in the superclass and concrete override in each subclass to evaluate each case. And that means that they have sort of orthogonal properties here. So if we want to add a new expression variant here, to add variables to the language, and we have more than one eval function, we might have several different eval functions as you've already seen, then we need to edit all the eval functions. Each of these eval functions get a new case in the pattern matching for the variable case. On the other hand, in the object-oriented world, this is much nicer. We simply add a new subclass, and it will contain the relevant definition of all the eval functions for that exactly that subclass, that new expression variant. So this is a bit cumbersome in the functional world and much nicer in the object-oriented. But it's the opposite down here, that if you want to add a new expression operation, a function to print expressions, then we simply define in the functional world a new function that deals with all the variants in one place using pattern matching. Whereas if you want to add a print function in the object-oriented world, we'd have to go into every subclass, one for each expression variant, and add the relevant function and relevant override of the a new abstract function from the superclass. So you might have to go into 10 or 15 different classes and do something. So so this was easy in the object-oriented world to add a new expression variant, or neat in the object-oriented world rather, and this is a neat in the functional one, but not vice versa. And this is known as the expression problem, how to represent expressions or anything actually so that it's easy to add a new variant and it's easy to add a new process or new treatment of this variant. There's one thing, and there's no, there are lots of proposed solutions for this, but no solutions that are really elegant as far as I know. So the two different kinds of languages have different properties. There's one case where I'd say that functional languages are far easier to work with than anything I've seen in single dispatch object-oriented languages like Java and C Sharp. And that is when, come on. Okay, it's taking a break. Here we are. If we want to write an expression simplifier, there are lots of expressions that are needlessly complicated, like 0 plus 2 and or 0 plus x or 1 times y and so on. And we would like to simplify this kind of expressions. This is very easy to do in a functional language like F sharp. We simply use the power of pattern matching here. So here's a simplifier function. Takes an expression E and it matches with various different cases we can think of. So if E is 0 plus E2, then we reduce that to E2. If the expression is E1 plus 0, we reduce that to E1. If the expression is 1 times 2 E2, we reduce that to E2 and so on. And you can add yourself a long list of cases. Yeah, 0 times whatever gives 0. This is difficult to do with C++, Java, C sharp style single dispatch on virtual function, virtual methods. Some much more fancy object-oriented languages exist that have multiple dispatch where this is equally or almost as easy as in functional languages. But I think this is so easy to read that it's hard to get wrong. Right, so this is the end of the first lecture in this course. There are at least 11, maybe 12 other lectures, and they'll deal with much more advanced and interesting things, but in much the same style. So in lecture 2, we'll deal with the distinction between interpreters, which is what we have seen now, and compilers, which transform one program into another. So on. And lecture 3 will deal with how lexing and parsing, that is how to get from the text representation of a program or an expression to the abstract syntax representation so that we can apply these eval functions and interpreters and compilers to them. And so on for, as you can see for yourself on this homepage. And everything is represented using F-sharp, all examples will become available on the homepage here as they are developed or finalized for the course, and the lecture notes are available here. So we are using F-sharp, and therefore also the F-sharp tools called FS-lex and FS-yak for parsing and scanning here, which are particular nice tools for generating the tools you need to turn a program from text to abstract syntax. So we are already here generating some programs using tools. And we'll see how to do that ourselves in the last lecture of the course. Okay, I'll stop here. Instead of giving the entire course today, I'll start in 2 weeks. Thank you.